2 Samuel chapter 5, and we'll be looking at verse number 17. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse number 17. And just to give us a little bit of context of where we are, David is now king, and he's the king over all of Israel at this point. And so he's conquered and has been received as the king, not just locally, but also internationally. And there was a portion where they were built, helping him build things and have the right kind of furniture, and everything would be in store. And so everything seems to be going pretty good, doesn't it? And finally, he's got recognition, not just from God, but from man. And it seems like everything is going just right. Now, how many of you know what it's like when everything is going just right, that the old enemy stirs up his head? Yeah, I knew I'd get a big response there. I'd say more often than not, if we do experience victory, and let me say, the Lord is good. He gives us plenty of victories. But in this season, or this side of eternity, those times where He's good to us is all the time, but the devil is still active. And so on this side of eternity, we still face battles. And so let me say, the devil realizes he's running out of time, and so I think he's increasing his attacks. I think he's trying to ramp up his strategy to try to pull people away from God and prevent people from getting to God. And so we know what it's like for things to be going good, or mostly going good, and then the enemy rears up his ugly head. So in David's case, everything's going good, or so it seems, but the enemy sticks up his head. And so that's where we pick up here tonight. And I want us to look at this thought tonight, when the enemy, or what to do when the enemy strikes again. So 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse number 17. You may be facing the enemy tonight, and face his attacks, and I want you to know you can get victory, and you can get the help that you need, and you don't have to live in fear. And so notice, first of all, there in your outline, recognize the adversary. Recognize the adversary. Verse number 17, it says, "But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold." And so as things are going good, there is the enemy. Who's the enemy in this situation? The Philistines. Is this the first time that the Philistines have become an enemy? No, that's why I titled it, "When the Enemy Strikes Again." If you have been with us, you've heard the name Philistines on more than one occasion. Somebody help me out. In our timeline of David's life, and even before, where the Philistines have reared up their ugly head. All right, so Goliath was a Philistine, so there's the first time David encountered the Philistines. What else?
When he earned the right to marry Saul's daughter by bringing pieces of the Philistines to Saul.
Yep, so he went over and above on the requirement of 100 Philistines. He doubled it up with 200. And that was an additional condition, by the way. He was supposed to have gotten the daughter of Saul just by taking out Goliath. And Saul actually brought him to battle against the Philistines in hopes that he would die. And so Saul underestimated not only David, but the power of God. What about, what's another time the Philistines have popped up in David's life? Or even in other timelines of when Saul was reigning? Or before? Well, what's another person who battled the Philistines. That was also in the Hall of Faith in the book of Judges. And his name starts with an S and it has another S in it. Samson. So Samson went after the Philistines. The Philistines basically have been a big bully for a long time to the Israelites. And in fact, in 1 Samuel 31 was the last time they showed up, and it's when Saul died. And so that is a recorded victory of the Philistines, that when Saul died, that's how things kind of transition. And if you want to study that, write that down, 1 Samuel chapter 31. They became pretty arrogant. I mean, they took his head off, they celebrated, and they rejoiced. And then we get into 2 Samuel. We don't see much of them until now. And so here's the enemy is the Philistines. So we're making aware an observation of who the enemy is in this situation, and it's the Philistines. They are the bullies of the Israelites, and they are not only the enemy of them, but also the enemy of God. And now they find out, guess who is the king? The one who took out their champion, the one who took out a couple of hundred more Philistines, and the one who is now the new king. They took out the old king, and so guess what they're going to do? They're going to show up to try to take out David. And so the enemy comes up and reveals himself. Now let me say tonight, the Philistines aren't our enemy, but guess what? We do have an enemy, and his name is Satan, or Lucifer, or the devil, or whatever you want to call him. He is our enemy. And so we must recognize who the enemy is in our life. This is the devil. And he wants to attack, and he wants to try to get in your life and try to conquer things over you. And we need to understand that he's not only our enemy, but he's the enemy of God. He's the father of lies. He's one who's able to transform himself into an angel of light. He is one who's very prideful, right? That's what took him out of heaven, is his pride. He's a master deceiver, and he does not want you to serve God. He's also one who likes to put in roadblocks. Was it not Paul who said that Satan hindered us? He told that to the Thessalonians. And he said, listen, we were trying to get to you, but Satan hindered us. And so the devil's trying to hinder you in many ways. He's trying to hinder your family and trying to hinder this church. He's trying to hinder the things of God. And so we must recognize who the adversary is. Now, David, here's another time when the Philistines made themselves present in this timeline. Now go back to me, I think this is 1 Samuel 17, somewhere in there, where David got away from God for a year and 4 months. Remember that in our timeline? Right? He didn't just go to just any old country, he went to the land of the Philistines. And so David didn't even recognize the enemy, and if he did, he didn't care. That's how much he was backslidden against God, is even if he did recognize the enemy, he didn't even care. Now let me say, thank the Lord for His mercy, by the way. There's been many times in our life where we have backslid against God. We have said, I don't even care if that is the enemy. I'm just going to jump all in, and I just don't care anymore. And we find ourselves in the pig pen of this world, and there's God showing up once again to deliver us out of the miry clay. That's the mercies of God. And God brought David out of that miry clay. He set his feet back where he should go and got David on the right path again. And so those Philistines are showing themselves over and over again, and they are the true enemy of David and of God. And now in our lives, it's the devil. He's the enemy of us and of God. And so listen, he likes to get out, and he likes to destroy what God is trying to do. Now, there is a strategy here I put in the notes, and it's basically pulled from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. I spoke of this recently and also preached a series of sermons about a year ago about the armor of God. And so tonight, if you are aware of the enemy, you've got to realize you've got to put on the whole armor of God. And in fact, let me say this, our enemies are not each other. Okay, it's not people in your house. It's not people you work with. It's not somebody on a different political aisle. It's not somebody in this society. The enemy is the devil. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Sometimes we do, but we shouldn't. And let me say, we've spent a lot of time fighting the wrong battles, I believe, even in the church house, over silly issues over the years, that we've missed the real enemy, and it's the devil. And all the while, he has uplifted his strategy, he has uplifted his tactics, and now it's amazing what our society supports, all because the church stayed silent. I mean, our society supports, in large part, homosexual marriage. But we were too busy arguing about something else in the church. I'm not just saying this church, but in the church as a whole. Right? It's accepted in a large part of our society that a woman can transition into a man or vice versa. And that's accepted and even celebrated. And I believe the church failed by being silent on things that mattered and were loud about things that didn't. We fought the wrong enemy. And so the devil wants this church to fight the wrong enemy. He wants us to fight each other. He even wants us to fight the people in the world that's lost. He wants us to get mad and not speak to them and not show them love. But that's not our enemy. He wants to do that in your home. He wants husbands and wives to fight against each other. Your spouse is not your enemy. You may say, well, they're hard to get along with. Is that not God who gave you that spouse? And yes, you may be two different people, but that's how God puts things together. And He can work those things out. But yet we'll keep fighting the wrong enemy. We'll do that, and all throughout our lives we'll fight the wrong enemy. But the only enemy we truly have is the devil and his evil forces. By the way, Saul was busy fighting that wrong enemy. And the Philistines, yes, Samson took them out and they just kind of pop back up again. And yes, even in 1 Samuel, they pop up and they take them out. But there was a period of time that Saul was chasing after David. David wasn't the enemy. He made him the enemy, but he shouldn't have been. And so all the while, the Philistines are gaining in strength. They're spreading out their strategy. And so when Saul wasn't fighting the real enemy, and he was fighting the wrong enemy, the Philistines were able to conquer. And guess what? That came back against Saul, and Saul lost his life. Be careful that you're fighting the right enemy. Be aware and understand. And when you recognize him, stand firm in the faith. Anchor yourself so you're not drawn into different types of traps that he's going to lay out in front of you. Stay united with other believers. That's why we connect on a Wednesday night. I mean, all of us have worked hard this week. No doubt there's somebody in the room that didn't feel like coming tonight, but you said, I'm going to put on my shoes, I'm going to get in the car, and I'm going to go down to the house of God. Why? Because it's worth it. I need to see my brothers and sisters. I need to hear from God's Word. I need to pray. I need to stand up and stand together with other believers. We got to stay alert. Spiritual discernment keeps you from being blindsided, being observant, looking around, watching out. Stephanie's not in here tonight, so I can talk about her. As long as y'all don't let it go out. Y'all let it go out last week, and I thought I could trust everybody. We went to D.C. a few weeks ago when we went out of town, and we took the metro or the subway. And let me tell you what, she was looking around everywhere, up, down, all around. And maybe that was quite wise to do so, but I was trying to get her to just enjoy the moment, enjoy the trip. This is vacation, just to enjoy it. But what was she doing? She was being observant. I said, you need to be that observant when you get back to Sanford, because it's just, it can be as bad in Sanford as it is in D.C. I said, listen, they've got all these military guys out right now, these ladies right now. You ain't got nothing to worry about. It's probably the safest it's been in D.C. and who knows when. But there she was looking around. Hey, we need to be like that. Things might be going good in your life. It may be the safest and most comfortable. It may be the best it's been. But you better watch out. You better be alert and look around, because the enemy is trying to sneak up. You better watch out. You better pay attention. Be alert. And then you got to use all of God's armor. And there in Ephesians chapter 6, that's for you to read later on. There's different types of armor. And you better put it all on. Don't leave it at the house. Take it all with you, because it takes it all. And when we do this, the enemy's valley becomes a place of victory, not a place of defeat. There in chapter 18, they spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And so the enemy's on the attack. He's got these strategies. And we need to recognize the adversary. I want you to notice, secondly, resist his advances. Resist his advances. There in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse number 19, David recognized the enemy, the adversary. So now what? He's made his presence known. What do I do now? Well, you need to resist what he's trying to do. Don't just say, well, he showed up, I'm just going to let him do what he wants to do. I'm going to let him take what he wants to take. No, I need to resist for the sake of myself, for the sake of my family, for the sake of my church, for the sake of the gospel. I need to resist his advances. This is what David does in verse number 19. It says, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. By the way, the Philistines, they were known here for their false idols. They created gods. And let me say, David's proper response was not to just let them take ground. His proper response was not to kind of just ignore it, but it was to hit it here in this situation head on. And so the lesson here is, don't play around with sin. Don't play around with the enemy. Don't allow compromise to seep in, because there's no time to play games with the devil. These Philistines were not people to kind of yoke up with. They were not people to fellowship with. They were the enemy of God, and therefore the enemy of David and the Israelites. We need to be careful playing around with the enemy. And we need to understand he's going to advance, and we got to resist it. The Bible here gives God gives David some instructions. Let me say, this is a proper response of David, is to go to God and just say, God, what do I do? You see, so many times the enemy will come at us, and we don't even go to God. Enemy tries to come in to the church house And so these people get over to this group and they'll talk about what's going on. And these people get over here in this group. And that's not why we got circle tables, by the way. I just thought I'd throw that in there. But when people get into all these groups and they'll go at it about such and such, whatever it is, doesn't even matter. Go to each other, but they don't go to God. Hey, go to God. We'll have some issues at the house. Husband's wife or spatting. We'll go tell co-worker about it. Co-worker doesn't need to know about it. Tell it to God. Amen. Got some issues with the kids. Co-worker doesn't need to know about it. Tell it to God. By the way, that's where a lot of marriages get messed up, is a person will go to a person of the opposite sex at work and tell them all their troubles. And that person's willing to listen. And next thing you know, there's more chaos. You need to take your problems to God. Take your enemy to God. Take his tactics to God. And you say, well, that's not what, you know, the world's doing. That's not what the world's common sense would say. But in Isaiah 55:8, he says his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. And so it may not make sense. It may be kind of unconventional. But we must listen to what God has to say. These Philistines, verse 22, they're going to come up again and attack again. And in verse 23, David's going to inquire again. But this time, God gives a little unusual response. He doesn't tell David to face them head on. He says to fetch a compass. And Brother James is tracking good right there. That means to go around. Sneak attack. That head on worked last time, but this time they're going to be ready for it. So sneak up around them. Don't hit them head on. And when you hear the wind or the sound of the mulberry trees, the tops in verse 24, that's when you go. He gives kind of an unusual response this time. God does. And sometimes he's going to give us some unusual responses and things that, God, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense to us. If it's God's thoughts, if it's God's ways, it's the best thing. Man, I've had some good ideas in this life, and they didn't work out. And God's got great plans, and they always work out if they go the way He wants them to go. James 4:7, the Bible tells us that we are to submit ourselves to God. Resist the devil, and guess what? He will flee from you. It goes on in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. We won't look here tonight, but I got it there in your notes. That's the passage where Jesus quotes Scripture directly to the devil. The devil's knocking on your door tonight. Quote some Scripture. You say, I don't know any. Learn some. It's a good reason to learn it. Not just to hide it into your heart and encourage you, but also to equip you against the devil. And so, the kids tonight, they're memorizing verses. The adults should be too. Amen. I might start doing that. I might start getting us some memory verses. And let's learn the Scripture. That's how we can conquer the enemy. And yet, we'll go to one another. We'll go to the world. We'll go to other devices, but God says, come to me, quote my word, use my word, use my ways to conquer the enemy. If he's not bothering you, then you're not bothering him. You say, well, maybe I should just not serve God. That way the devil doesn't leave me. He doesn't bother me. No. That's not the proper response. The proper response is to pray, submit yourselves to God, read His Word, quote Scripture. Don't turn around and say, I quit. Don't turn around and say, I'm not serving God anymore. That's not the best response. The best response is to stand up strong under the power of God and march on for His glory. Let God take care of the enemy. You do what God says to take care of him, and He'll take care of him. And he's going to come up and he's going to try his different tactics. He's going to say, oh, something's going on at CBT. Let me get a little gossip going over here. Let me get just something going wrong and get the people a little frustrated. Hey, let me get the believers down at CBT a little weary. Let me give them a hard day at work and a hard week. Let me get some things falling apart at their house and let me just wear them down. So when they come to church, they're not ready to worship like they used to. They're not ready to get into God's Word. They're not ready to hit that altar. Hey, I'm coming after you is what he's saying. And he starts to spread out around the valley. He starts to spread out and he tries all of his different tactics. He says, oh, things are going good at the house. Husband and wife is enjoying a date night. Let me get the kids on their nerves before they go. Right? Things going good at work. You'll send some people at your workplace to get on your nerves. We better resist his advances because he's coming. He's active. These Philistines, would you notice they come again? And let me say tonight, the devil may be quiet at your house. He may at times be quiet at this church. But he won't stay quiet for long. That's not how he operates. You got to go back and repeat James 4:7 over and over again. Keep submitting to God, and the devil will resist you and leave you and flee. You got to keep going back to God. So what does David do? He on the first go around, he what? He prays. They come back again. What does he do on the second go around? Let me try. Nope. He goes to God again. Hey, God's Word gives us the instructions. But yet we choose not to abide by it. We say, well, I'm going to try something different this time. No, just stick with God. And follow His Word. Lastly, tonight, rejoice in the aftermath. Rejoice in the aftermath. So we've recognized the adversary, we're resisting his advances, and then we're going to rejoice in the aftermath. Verse number 25, David, he heard the wind in the mulberry trees. He knew that God said, listen, when you hear that sound, when you hear, I don't know, it could have been a little bit of wind. It could have been angels making a little bit of rustling. I don't know the exact sound that it was making. But God made it happen. And when God made it happen, David did what he was supposed to do. And guess what verse 25 says? And David did so as the Lord had commanded him. And he smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. Now, this is how I'm going to leave with us tonight. And you put this in your pocket, and you might have to hold on to this to see it come to fruition. But you can rejoice in the aftermath of the enemy's attacks. And I'm going to tell you why, because there's a promise in your Bible. And you can go all the way back to Revelation at the end of your Bible, and it says God wins. All right? Now, if you're on God's side, guess what that means, Brother Max? It means you win. That means I win. If we're on God's team, if we are in God's family, we win. So you can rejoice in the aftermath. He might keep coming to your house. He knows where you live at. He knows where you go to church at. And he knows where you work at. And he might come day after day after day. But guess what? His day's coming. That's God's promise. It's God's promise. He might get a few victories here on this earth, right? He got a few victories, the Philistines did, against the Israelites here and there. Can I give you something I saw as I was studying? If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 31, you know, way back when Saul was conquered by the Philistines, don't miss this. When the Philistines took out Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 31, I could not find any other time that the Philistines got a victory after that point. Now, if you can find it, I'd love to see it. But after 1 Samuel 31, I do not see any other victories by the Philistines over the Israelites. Now, did they fight again? Did they come and fight David again? Absolutely. You'll see it in Kings and later on in your Bible. But they never have another victory. And so what I'm trying to say tonight is the devil has had some victories. He's had some trophies on his mantle. He made Abraham fall and not believe God. He made Sarah not believe God and Moses do things he shouldn't do. He made and got David to do things he shouldn't do. Oh yeah, he caused Peter to fall, but guess what? God picked Abraham back up. God picked Moses back up. God picked David back up time and time again. And guess what? God picked up Peter time and time again. And let me say, He picks us up time and time again. And guess what? That devil might get some victories down at your house, but there's coming a day where he'll have no more victories. And I gave you some references tonight just in case you think I'm making that up. You go home before you go to bed tonight. You read those references. Because the devil will be cast into the lake of fire forever. There's going to be a time the rapture is going to happen. This is the next event on God's prophetic calendar. After the rapture is going to be the tribulation. 7-year tribulation. Once that peace treaty is signed, the Antichrist is going to show himself and rule the world just for a season, just for a moment, 7 years. And guess what? Jesus is going to come back to this earth. It's going to be the battle of Armageddon, and Jesus is just going but speak, and the enemy will fall. Hey, the devil, for that 1,000 years, he's going to not be able to come and conquer anything. But you know what the Bible says? He's going to be loosed for a little season. But it's just a season. Because for eternity, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. And so tonight, you might just have to put that one in your pocket. Rejoice in the aftermath. You may be today being beat up time and time again by the enemy. You might just have to put that in your pocket for another day. But let me say, it's God's promise. And you can rest in that promise tonight. Let's all pray. I want you to just take a moment. I don't know what you might be facing tonight. I don't know what battles are going on in your house, your jobs. I don't know what kind of things you're facing. I know some things that you share, but there's things that you may be facing. I want you to call upon God tonight. Because I don't have a magic solution. I don't have a script to give you. I just have God's Word. I have Him, and I want you to call upon God. Would you do that here in this quietness of this moment?